The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
The dancing before the cross, great picture for Resurrection Sunday. Well, good morning, church. It is fantastic to be here with you, and I'm really glad that you've made the choice to be here today on Resurrection Sunday. This morning we are looking at the power of the cross, but more specifically we're looking at the power of hope. And before we do that, I'm wondering whether you'll join with me as I open in a word of prayer. So let's pray. Jesus, this is a great day of celebration. And Lord, my simple prayer is that you would speak to each of us through your word. Open our hearts and open our minds. Bring us revelation that will encourage us and inspire us to be the people who live in the light of the fact that you are our risen King. And Lord, we pray for our children too. We pray that they'd have a fantastic morning learning more about you and growing into the little disciples that you want them to be. Lord, we commit them to you. We commit their leaders to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Today is a day of celebration. Church, he is risen. Easter Sunday is obviously the day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. It's a party day. A party day for Christians right across the globe. I remember when I was the youth pastor, we would often do resurrection parties around this time. It's a party day. But I guess the paradox of a day like today, a party day, a celebration day, is that as I was preparing, and as I was thinking about the things that I might share today, I couldn't help but think that there might be some real tough things that you are going through, even on a day like today. And I got thinking, you know, have you ever been invited to a party and you weren't up for it? You know, you just didn't feel like you wanted to go. You know, you had a bad week and you just didn't want to go. Well, that's the kind of thing that that I was thinking through this week. You know, life places us in a whole heap of circumstances, scenarios where, you know, one day we're partying, one day we're celebrating the birth of a new baby. And then on the next, we're at a funeral feeling the pain of the loss of a loved one. And you know, this week's been a tough week for a number of us. A tough week, especially in the office. You know, on Monday, we had a funeral for one of our mums, a woman who died in sort of tragic circumstances, and we farewelled her on Monday. And that was a sad time. We also, on that same day, heard the tragic news come from across the nation that one of our colleagues in ministry had lost his daughter, again, in very tragic circumstances. Then I got a text message from one of the guys that I work with, who heard that one of our senior ministers in the city lost his brother in a motorbike accident. And then today, our own mate, Colin Taylor, passed away 5:30 this morning. You know, we heard the news as we were praying out the back, and we heard the news that he was baptized on this day as a 14-year-old. Resurrection Sunday. I mean, how good is that? And you know, Colin is experiencing what we are about to talk about this morning. Colin is experiencing hope realized. And Linda, you know, from the bottom of our hearts, we are sorry for your loss. And we want you to know, you know, along with your family, that we stand with you and we love you. And we're praying for you during this sad time. When we were told and when we were praying, the song came into my head, one of the hymns that, and I pray this for you, you know, may he give you strength for the day, strength for today, and bright hope for tomorrow. You know, it's been an emotional week. It's been an emotional week for many of us. And you know, the other thing that kind of hasn't helped me over this last little period is something that's been weighing on me for the last 6 weeks. I don't know about you, but I'm just really enthralled and interested in trying to find out what has happened with this plane, MH370. And every single day for the last 6 weeks, one of the first things that I've done is get up, get on the news websites and try to, you know, I'm just hoping that there's been some news that it has been hijacked and they're all alive on some island, or that even just the news, that they know where it is. And as you know, it went missing on March the 8th, and we are still very much in the dark over what's happened to it. And I can't even imagine, I guess this is what weighs heavy on me the most, is I can't imagine what the families involved must be feeling. It must be absolutely agonizing. And they must be beside themselves, sitting and waiting for news, for any news. And unfortunately, as every day passes, their hope fades. You know, I know that today is a day of celebration. Today is a celebration. But life can often leave us feeling hopeless, vulnerable, and powerless. And the reality is, church, that just because we are Christ followers, it doesn't mean that we are immune to the tough things that happen in this life. Imagine what it must have been like for the disciples during that 3 days after the death of their rabbi, Jesus. They gave everything to serve this man, and now he was dead. For 3 years, they followed this man and his incredible claims. They were one. They were one with this rabbi. They were really close. This rabbi called them friends. Totally 100% committed. What do you do when your dreams collapse? You know, what do you do when you have opposed the authorities and you've followed a man who claims to be God, and then you see him hanging on a cross and you see him dying? I believe the disciples did what any reasonable person would have done. They cut their losses and they got out of there. They ran. And after Jesus' crucifixion, the rest of the disciples began to just leave town. And maybe they thought the people would forget. Maybe they're hoping, hope people forget what we've done. Perhaps they were hoping that they could start all over again. The scriptures say that this was a really sad time for them. And I'm wondering, as you sit here this morning, is there something in your world that is making you feel stressed? Is there stuff going on that is making you feel anxious? Or do you look at some things that are happening and you think, man, I can't see the hope? Are you carrying stuff from your past? Are you carrying stuff from a personal tragedy or a set of tough circumstances? All of these things can often leave us feeling pretty hopeless. But church, today is a day of celebration. During such times, those tough times, God's word gives us hope. God's word gives us hope. And at our lowest point, drained of emotional resources, we can place our hope in the Lord and we can find strength in Him. And my hope this morning as we open the scriptures is that we will be reminded of the power of hope. The power of hope that comes through the resurrection of Jesus. So I'd like us to open our Bibles, and I think it's appropriate that we read together this morning the resurrection account, and we're going to read it from Mark's perspective, and I've asked JB to read it for us. It's not going to come up on the screen, so please just enjoy listening to John as he reads Mark 16, 1 through to 14. Thanks, mate.
The resurrection. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone... They saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Now there's a change. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen.
Thanks, John. I don't know about you, but I kind of read those words, and I can't help but think that the mood in the change rooms was pretty somber. You know, these guys, the chips were down, they were staring at defeat. The scriptures say that there was mourning and weeping. The reality was that all hope had departed. But then we read in John 20, in verse 19, and that's going to hop up on the screen there. On the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and he said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples... See there, underlined, the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. They were overjoyed. The mourning, their mourning, their weeping had turned into dancing. Hope was restored, and the rest is history. And we are sitting here today. We're sitting here today because of the resurrection of Jesus. Hope is a very powerful thing. And this morning, no matter where you're up to on your spiritual journey, I want you to know that the power of hope, I want you to know the power of hope that comes through the resurrection of Jesus. And the reality is, and we need to go here today, the reality is that if there was no resurrection, then there is no hope. And we need to read in 1 Corinthians 15, you can read along with me there, it says this, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your what? So is your faith." Without the resurrection, our faith is useless. There is no hope. But because Jesus was raised from the dead, because of the resurrection, we can experience the power of hope. And I want us to spend a short time in 1 Peter 1. I'm just going to make a few comments along the way, but if you can open your Bibles there, 1 Peter 1. And just stop along the way and make a few comments and again talk to you more about the power of this hope that we have in Jesus. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. It says, "Praise be to God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have been born into, and this is my first point, we've been born into a living hope. And the first thing to notice is that we've been born into it. It's kind of like there's nothing we've been able to do to receive this. We've been given this. We've been born into it. Romans 6 verse 4, it says, "We were therefore buried with Him." And Chris has already read this out for us today. "We've been buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." It's because of His great mercy. It's because of His amazing love for us. And it's through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that we have been born into this living hope. And baptism, you know, Isabel's baptism in the first service, incredible. It illustrates wonderfully what we're talking about here. Death to self. And born again, raised to new life with Christ. So what is this living hope? What does Peter mean by this? Well, a living hope is made possible by the living Son of God who rose from the dead. A living hope is a hope that has life in it. And because it has life, it grows and it becomes greater and it becomes stronger. You see, over time, hope has a real bad habit of fading. But our hope is living and it will never die. You need to know that, church. This awesome thing about the living hope is that it will always be there. And it will always provide us with the power to live for God, no matter what the circumstances are. No matter what we find ourselves in, the good or the bad, it gives us the power to live through all of those circumstances. The living hope is also a future hope. And then it goes on to say there, it says, "In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade." You need to get that. "This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Peter calls this future hope an inheritance. And when we read our Old Testament, the inheritance is referred to as the land that God has promised to His people. That's the inheritance in the Old Testament. We also see in the New Testament that the language of inheriting the kingdom is another way of saying that believers will receive salvation or believers will receive eternal life. And I want you to notice something special about this inheritance. For it is totally unlike any earthly inheritance. What does it say? It says that it will never perish, it'll never spoil, and it will never fade. Our inheritance will never grow old because it is eternal. Now, Peter is writing here to Christians who are suffering all types of persecution and going through all sorts of trials. And he doesn't want us, he doesn't want Christians to be dashed to the ground by these troubles that we can often face. He wants us to look to the future, to look to the future with a sure confidence that a massive blessing awaits us. You know, our hope is the hope of the resurrection, triumph over death. And whatever happens to us in this world, it's trivial compared to the blessing of the future resurrection, compared to the blessing of our inheritance. Now, I want to take you to 1 Thessalonians. We've read a lot of scripture this morning, I know. But this is the truth. This stuff is fantastic. And I want to remind you of the truth found in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Please read along with me. Brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no, what we've been talking about today, no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who were still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Are those words encouraging to you? Man, they're so encouraging. It's powerful, powerful words. You know, church, that day is coming. The day when we will have it all. The day, as Eugene Peterson puts it in the message, we will have life healed and we will have life whole. But in the meantime, our hope will be tested. It says in verse 6, in all of this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. The tough stuff of life is inevitable. And the Apostle Peter, 30 years or so after the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, he set himself down to write something encouraging to the harassed Christians of Asia Minor. He sat down to pen these words for us 2,000 plus years on. And what I want to just now show you is the things that these people back in Peter's day were going through. And here's just a couple. In chapter 2, verse 18, the people were being abused by overbearing bosses. They were threatened by unbelieving spouses. They were ridiculed by skeptical neighbors and associates. And in chapter 4, you can read, on the horizon loomed the possibility of a much more violent form of persecution. These things, suffering, grief, trials, do you know what they do? They test the genuineness of our faith. And as hard as they can be when we're going through them, they reveal whether or not our faith is authentic. You know, the scriptures say that if our faith proves to be real, the believer will share in the praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ returns. I don't know about you, but that's exciting. That's powerful. And that is super encouraging. And it's something for us to look forward to. Now, it's time to land this message. We've read a lot of scriptures, and I've been talking really fast, but it's time to land the message. What is your response this morning? What has the Spirit been saying to you as we've been reading the Word of God? In verse 8, it says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Inexpressible and glorious joy. I got there in the end. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You know, Peter's main point in this verse is pretty clear. Believers who suffer all kinds of trials and persecution are not devastated and are not hopeless. They are not dashed to the ground because they love Jesus Christ and their hope is in Him. And even though we've never seen Him and we don't see Him now, their lives characterized by hope, a hope that fills the present with a love and a joy, a hope for today, a strength for today, and a bright hope for tomorrow. So what do we do to live this out? Well, three things to wrap up really quick. Three things that I want to encourage you with. The first thing is, I want to encourage you to keep believing. Keep believing. Keep hoping. If we place our hope in the resurrected Jesus, we will get what we're looking for. We will get new life. We'll get an inheritance that will never perish or fade. And we will share in the praise and the glory and the honor when Christ returns. And we will be filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. This is total salvation. How good is that? This hope will also give us the power to get through the tough stuff that gets thrown our way. So that's the first thing, church. We need to keep believing. Keep hoping. The second thing is, if you're here this morning and you don't believe, I want to encourage you. I want to urge you to start believing. John 11 verse 25 says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And he asks this question of you this morning. Do you believe this? Do you believe in me? You know, the good news, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ is pretty simple. And Paul outlines it for us in 1 Corinthians 15. He says this, by this gospel, by this good news, we are saved. You are saved. And if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For to what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. All you need to do is believe. Believe that Jesus died for your sins. Believe that he was buried and then later was raised on the third day. Believe that God in his great mercy has given you his son. A living hope, our living hope, and a future hope, and an inheritance that will never perish or fade. I want to encourage you to put your hope in Jesus. If that's you this morning, and you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know, I need to do this. I need to put my hope in Jesus, this living hope. Can I encourage you, after our service is finished, there will be leaders here that will love to just stand with you, pray with you, and share more about Jesus with you. So, two things we've talked about. Keep believing, keep hoping. The next thing is start believing. And then lastly, we need to keep praying, believing. So we need to pray believing. That's what I was meant to say. At the end of every service, we offer prayer. And you might be one of those people that I've referred to this morning, going through some pretty full-on stuff. Again, our people would love to pray with you. Our people would love to stand with you. And my encouragement is, let's put our hope. You know, if you're facing a situation that you just feel there is no hope, let's be a people who put our hope in the one that has had the power, the one who has the power to overcome sin and death. Let's pray. Need to keep believing. Need to start believing. And we need to pray believing. Lord Jesus, I believe with all of my heart that you were raised from the dead. And that this guarantees that your death was sufficient to pay for all of my sin. And that you yourself are alive today. And your spirit lives in me. And your spirit lives with me. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for that. And I pray that you will help me now to hope fully. Hope fully in your promises. So that I am freed from anxiety. So that I am freed from stress. That I am freed from worry that comes from fear. And that I might be driven to imitate you and your love, your great love. Jesus, grant us in these times of stress and anxiety, to have the power of hope through your resurrection. And I pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. It's good to be gathered together today. Can I encourage you in your community life? There is a care card. Please, if you would like to, just fill them in, an opportunity to put your prayer requests in and have over 100 people praying. Encourage you to do that. Also, if you're visiting today, we're just absolutely stoked that you chose to be here on Resurrection Sunday. We call you a new friend. And in the cafe area, we have a table over in the corner that we call our new friends table. And if you go there, you will find free coffee. You will find free, fantastic morning tea. And also, you'll find some really friendly people who would love to meet you and love to chat with you and to you. So can I encourage you to go there? Don't forget prayer. And also now, I'd encourage you to stand and wish each other a fantastic Easter. And I pray for you as you now head into the rest of your Easter Sunday. God bless.